when we start to study, you know, Bible prophecy and looking at the end times, it helps us understand the book of Revelation, because I think most people are usually scared or they find that the book of Revelation is a bit complicated. But usually when, you know, when we start piecing together the pieces together, then God gives us, you know, understanding. And I think it's Daniel, the Bible says that the day he humbled himself to, you know, to ask the Lord and to seek wisdom, that's the day that God gave him the answer. And for us too, as we humble ourselves, you know, to understand God's word, whether it's, I mean, there's always that impression that it's complicated, God finds a way to give us wisdom, to give us revelation, to give us understanding. So I believe that, you know, as we look at the scriptures, as we try to understand, I believe these teachings are important. We call it eschatology, in that they look at the study of the end times, because the reality is that any time, you know, the world will come to an end as we know it, and the Bible keeps warning us that no one knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man will come except the Father himself. And we need to be ready. You know, we need to be like those wise virgins, you know, that had oil in their lamps. And when the, you know, when the bridegroom came, they found that they were found to be ready. So we've been looking at the, you know, the tribulation period. And we've been able to see that ideally there are 7 years which are decreed for, you know, the tribulation period, in which it will be the time before Christ comes. And if we look at the scriptures, I mean, there are different views of how the tribulation period will be, you know, will be experienced. There are those who believe that believers will not be there. So they believe that, you know, the church will be raptured before, you know, before the tribulation period, and this is what we call the pre-tribulational, you know, belief system or theory. And this is where we believe the church will be raptured, because God has not appointed the church to suffer wrath, and God will save them from the. I mean, Jesus also says, "I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the earth." Then there are those who believe that, ascribe to the belief that it will, at the midway point of the 7 years, that's at 3.5 years, 42 months, then the church will be raptured, and then now it will usher in the Great Tribulation, which refers to the time where there is more serious judgment on the earth. And this is where we'll see there is the bowls of judgment, 7 bowls being poured on the people. And these are judgments that take place within the tribulation period, especially for the people who rejected the Lord and who had the mark of the beast. And then also there are those now who also believe that both the rapture and the coming back of Christ are the same. So as he comes, then it will be after the tribulation period is when Christ will come, defeat, you know, the enemy, and then establish his reign on the earth. So if you're looking at the timeline, so a lot of the, you know, the verses, especially when you look at Revelation from chapter 4 towards up to around 19:20 there, 19, it speaks of this tribulation period, and also it speaks of the events before the tribulation period. So when, you know, when, what's his name? When John the Revelator, he in chapter 4, you know, when he's taken up higher, when the Lord tells him, come up higher, come up hither, you know, and I will show you things that must come. And this is in Revelation chapter 4. The Bible says, then I saw, we're in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had before me spoke like a trumpet blast and said, come up here and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. And the one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian and the glove, an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder, and in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The front of these living beings was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third like a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were all covered with eyes, inside and out. Day and after night, and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the one who was, who is, and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures or the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down and bow down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever. And they lay their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because of you created them." So you created what you pleased. So we see that, remember, you know, John had the vision of Jesus, and he gave him the message for the seven churches. In the first three chapters of Revelation, the Bible says he signified it to him, the things that might soon take place. But now he now starts to give him the full revelation of the things that will happen towards the end and at the end. But before that happens, he brings him to heaven and he tells him, "Come up here, come up hither." And God says that, I mean, Christ is on that shows him that, "I will show you the things that must happen after this." But first of all, before he shows him that, he shows him a vision of heaven. And from it we are able to see the throne of God, where we see that, you know, around the throne, you know, it's all this majestic. There are flames of fire. There's the seven spirits of God, which is the sevenfold Spirit of God. We see the living creatures. You can see the living creatures having, you know, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, a human face, and an eagle, you know, and all this imageries that represent Christ. You remember Christ is the Lion of Judah. He's also like an ox in that he has the strength of the humility. You know, when he says the humility of an ox, where it says, "Take my yoke," you know, so he can carry the yoke with you. Then we see the human face, where it represents the humanity, and then the eagle representing the supernatural, you know, the eagle in flight, the sight, the prophetic, the supernatural. And we can see that these living creatures all had eyes, you know, all over. And this represents, you know, the all-seeing nature and all-knowing, where God sees everything. He's all-seeing, he's all-knowing, and they can see there's nothing that is hidden before God. And you can see how these living creatures continually give glory to God. They're worshiping God, the one who lives forever. We also see the 24 elders, and the Bible says that these 24 elders, they fall down, they throw down their crowns, and they worship God. And they say glory and honor and power to God. Now, if we go to chapter 5, we see that now the Bible says, we can read, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne, and there was a writing inside and outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and to open it?' But no one in heaven or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping, or weep not. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He has prevailed. He is worthy to open the scrolls and its seven seals.'" So in a way, we'll be able to see, to start seeing what are the seals, the seven seals. Verse 6 says, then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slain, as if it had been slaughtered, but it was not. It was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out in every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he had took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with this word, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you are slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. You know, then I looked again, and I heard the voice of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and of the elders, and they sang a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one who is sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said amen, and the 24 elders worshipped the Lamb. So what we see is that, as you know, as John was taken up to heaven, he, in the vision now, he sees, you know, the worship of God. He sees the angel, he sees the throne of God, he sees the living creatures, he sees the 24 elders. But then now he also sees that on the throne, you know, there was someone who was seated on the throne, and this represents God the Father, who was seated on the throne, and he had a scroll. And a scroll here refers to, you know, you can think of the book or the lawyer documents that, you know, that have the seals. And the seals are like locks, eh? You know, like, you know, when you tie a document, you put seals on it. So they're like seven, you know, seven seals that whether with wax or not, that lock the, you know, the scroll. And he, you know, when the seals were there, because, you know, scrolls represent the revelation, represent like the truth or the future, something, a message that is about to come forth. And John started to cry because he wanted someone to open the scroll so that he can know what is the message that God is giving him to send back to the church or to the nations. But the Bible says there was no one who was found worthy to open the scroll. And as he cried, one of the 24 elders the 24 elders came to him and said, stop weeping, because the Lion of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. The root of David has prevailed and is worthy to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. This is, you know, when we think of, you know, the events of the future, when we think of who holds the world, when we think of who controls our destiny, you know, who has the, you know, the mark of our destiny, the books of our lives, it is only Christ himself that has the authority, that has prevailed. Is only the Lamb who has prevailed, the Lamb who was slain. You know, the Bible says, then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slain. And remember, we saw that the lamb that had been slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. That means that Christ purposed to die for us even before the foundations of the earth were laid. And you see, the lamb that looked as if it had been slain, it stood between the throne and the four living creatures and among the 24 elders, and he had seven horns, which represents the sevenfold Spirit of God. And he stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb and they worshipped him. And you can see what the Bible tells us. The saints, they had the 24 elders had held golden bowls with filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So as we pray, our prayers goes to God as incense, and they're presented to God by the 24 elders as incense. And you can see they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to break its seals, to open it, for you were slain." So it is only Jesus that has the power or had the authority to open the scrolls or to open the seals of the scroll that was given from the throne of God. And then let's go to Revelation chapter 6. And the Bible says, "As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the living beings saying with a loud voice like thunder, I said, 'Come.' I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there, its rider carrying a bowl, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory." So now we are seeing the seals are being opened up. So we can see that the first seal is a white horse. Standing there, it had a rider carrying a bow and a crown was placed on his head, and he rode to win, you know, many battles. So when we think of what does that mean to us, it actually means like, you know, when Christ won the victory, when he rose from the dead, the first that is given is that a message, the apostolic message. The church went out in victory. So we see that he went out as a conqueror. The message went out and he goes out as a white horse. And even remember when Christ comes back, he comes back on a white horse. And you know, the Bible in Revelation 19 tells us that he comes where with it's written faithful and true. You know, his name is written faithful and true. But you see, now we see that the first seal, which represents the going out of the message of the gospel. So immediately after Christ arose, the gospel message went out. So that is the first seal. And then verse 3 tells us that when the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being come and say, "Come." Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter and everywhere. War and slaughter everywhere. So when we think of this, we see that, you know, the white horse represented the apostolic age, but then now came persecution. And remember, if you think of, you know, the emperors who came in and started persecuting the church, and they killed the Christians. So there was so much, you know, persecution of the church. And this red horse, which was given authority and to take peace on the earth. And we can see then, you know, war comes into the earth and there's a lot of judgment against the earth. And then verse 5 tells us, when the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the living being say, "Come." And I looked and I saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay, and don't waste the olive oil and the wine." Now, when we see, you know, the church, you know, because the church suffered persecution, but you see, it gets to a point now where we now see what you will call that, you know, it's like the church has lost its weight, and it's, there's corruption of the gospel, or rather there's even, you know, scarcity. You can see when we see that it says that a loaf of bread, you know, and will cost a pace that you can imagine. You have worked for a full day and you can only afford a loaf of bread or of wheat or three loaves of barley. And this speaks of, you know, economic turmoil. There will be all this economic turmoil. There's going to be inflation. But the reality is there's going to be a scarcity of the true word of God. And what we see is that these judgments are being proclaimed, and we can see that through the seals, and these are all things that are happening and towards the end of the world. And then verse 7 tells us, when the lamb broke the fourth seal, I had the fourth living being say, come. I looked up and I saw a horse whose color was death, was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill the animal, to kill with sword and famine and diseases and wild animals. And so we see this is part of the judgments. So we can see that even in our times, what happens? There's war, there's death, there's sword, there's famine, there's diseases, there's wild animals. So, you know, as there's all this conflict on the world, what we see is that also what has been released. And when we think of the seven seals, these are the events that go on towards until the last days. And the seventh seal, when we'll get to the end, is now where we now enter into the final judgment. But all these are precursors. So we can see these are things that are even happening in our time. So we can see the fourth horse becoming pale green and is named Death. Verse 9. When the lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, how long before you judge the earth and the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? And then the Bible says, then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them. So you can see the fifth seal is actually a cry of, you know, persecution and martyrdom. But you can see that those who have been persecuted, those who have been killed, those their souls start to cry out to God, and they ask, how long will, you know, this suffering go on? Think of the persecution in various parts of the world. This is part of the fifth seal, where people are crying out and asking God, how long, how long, how long? And God tells them that, don't worry. He gave them white robes and says, rest a little longer until the full number. So that means that to God is like, there's a perfection of time. When that full number reaches, then it will, their suffering will end. Then we go to the sixth seal, verse 12. I watched as the lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars fell to the sky like green fig leaves falling from a tree shaken by the strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Verse 15, then everyone, the kings, the rulers and the generals and the powerful people and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in caves and among the rocks and mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? So the sixth seal represents, you can see the judgment. We can see there is great earthquake, there is darkness, the moon becomes red as blood. Stars, there are meteorites falling, the skies fall, And all these things describe earthquakes. And we've seen there have been earthquakes on the earth. We've seen there have been stars falling. But they will be even worse, and people will hide. Everyone will be affected. You can see both great and small. Everyone will be affected by it. But you see, now we are now in the, when you go to the next chapter, chapter 7, it says, Revelation chapter 7, then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four wings so they did not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, wait, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed a seal of God on the forehead of his servants. And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God, 144,000. And what I will stop there for today, but then we'll be able to continue. But between the, after the judgment, just before the final judgment, we can see God starts to preserve, you know, his people, starts to preserve, and he says, no. Before you finalize the judgment, go and mark on my people with a seal. Remember, the beast had his own mark, but you see also God puts his mark on his people to preserve them. And later we'll see, you know, that, you know, when and when all these are preserved, they're the ones who God has washed them, you know, with their robes, and they're made clean. But then all this happens before the seventh seal is broken. And the seventh seal will be, God willing, we'll be able to see it tomorrow, and we'll see from Revelation chapter 8. So I'll stop there and welcome questions. I think there's a lot to handle, but by the grace of God, he will give us understanding. My brother, you're welcome.
Thanks, Doctor. Not just one question. No. That
mind of his Amen. Okay, we thank God we'll be able to carry on and see in between the sixth and the seventh seal the events that happen, and then we'll be able to see the seventh seal where there is silence in heaven, and we will now enter into now the final phase, because the seventh seal represents the final phase of judgment. Let us pray. Our Heavenly God and Father, our Heavenly Father and God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have given us wisdom, you have given us understanding, and you continue to teach us your ways, to teach us your truth about the end times, about the things that you prepared. And indeed, we honor your holy name, that indeed when there was none that was found worthy to open the scroll, you were found, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that shed his blood for us, the Lamb that is worthy to be received all worship, glory, and honor. I thank you that, Lord, we know you, that you have loved us, that we did not love you, but you loved us first, even before we knew you, and you died for us. And for that, it is a mystery that we will never understand, that you loved us, O God, and for that we return all the glory to you, O God. I plead your mercies of our failures, of our areas that where we struggle. I pray that your hand shall be with us. We thank you for our family members. Thank you for our brothers, our sisters. Thank you for everyone that today will be able to go to church or will be worship in various places. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke attacks of darkness. I come against them in the name of Jesus. Father God, we look unto your promises. You are faithful. You are holy. You are in charge of our lives. In everything that we do, we return all the glory and honor to you. Bless our day. Bless the work of our hands. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed morning and a blessed week ahead. Bye-bye.